exciting. Wow, where to begin?
It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, this is Striker B from Israel.
This is Sashana, Cat Dragonstar.
And this is Skunkeen.
And you're listening to Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only Neverwinter Nights podcast for the Neverwinter Nights role-playing games.
Well, guys, it's really good to be here tonight for episode 113. Easy for me to say.
Apparently it is.
We're here tonight for episode 113. And we've got a great conversation, I think, going to be tonight. We don't have an interview. So we decided we would start looking at some of the game worlds that actually have affected Neverwinter Nights. And tonight, we're going to delve into the Forgotten Realms.
The mystical realms.
No, they're forgotten. I can't remember anything about them.
Yeah, it's hard to remember something about Forgotten Realms.
I can't remember. It's just because it's forgotten. It's been nuked and don't remember anything about it.
Well, you suppose we maybe should send a memo to Wood after, these, 18 years, 19 years, that suggests that maybe he should change it to something else?
He's got a couple other settings that he's made. Castle Morn, he has, with Margaret Weiss Publishing, but Forgotten Realms is probably the most epic creation of his. Well, not just his. It became pretty much the largest RPG setting in the world because there's so many people that contributed to it.
Because it's the most potent one to edit.
Yeah, it's pretty fun to edit.
It's amazing because there is just such a huge body of work for it that, I'm probably prejudiced, but I think there's probably a bigger body of work for Neverwinter Nights than there was for Greyhawk, which was the original Dungeons & Dragons setting.
Yeah. And then Dungeons & Dragons TSR started adding a couple more settings to their list of game worlds, things like Birthright and Dragonlance, and a couple others. Oh, Dark and Sun, Ravenloft.
Ravenloft.
Oh, and one of them was Al-Quidim. And that was
Al-Quidim.
Yep. And
Al-Quidim.
Al-Quidim?
Yes, and I loved it. It's truly in the lands of Zakara, which are far south of the normal lands than which most people game. They had Zakara, which was the Al-Quidim, then they had Karatur, which was the far east. They had Mastika, which was basically the New World.
And those three got added into the Forgotten Realms setting.
Right.
They used to be, I believe at one point, they used to be a standalone setting, and they got imported into Forgotten Realms. Now, the Ravenloft setting is kind of like a different realm that people get sent to or pulled into, and people could come from any game world setting and get sucked
into. Are you washing dishes?
Who? Striker?
Doesn't that sound like what he's doing? He sounds like he's washing dishes.
Who? Striker?
You.
Me?
Yeah.
Yes.
It does. There's a little bit of a clink. There's some swooshing sounds going on. It does. It sounds like you're washing and stacking dishes.
Oh, that's
I'm glad
Striker.
That you can multitask, my man.
That's Striker playing with his keys, I believe. I'm not doing dishes.
Anyway, back to Ravenloft. That was one of those alternative worlds that there's a very large following for, even in Neverwinter Nights. Poetic Colossus had a substantive module that he did. There are a couple of PWs that are Ravenloft oriented.
Yes, I played some of them.
Prisoners in the Mist is a pretty populated PW.
That they're quite fun PWs. I haven't heard whether there is anybody heard whether they're going to do a Ravenloft in Neverwinter's Tomb.
They wanted to, but don't think he stopped even.
Misery Stone by Bouncy Rock Entertainment.
Was that Ravenloft?
Yep, it's Ravenloft.
Oh, it was?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be.
Oh, cool.
Oh. All right.
So, how about some history on Forgotten Realms in PC gaming?
Well, there's quite a substantial body of computer games been developed over the years.
The only ones I know is the Baldur's Gate and Icewind Dale.
Well, there was a bunch more.
Oh, yeah.
A lot more. I don't have any kind of wiki page up on a list of Forgotten Realms games, but I have almost every single Forgotten Realms game here.
Oh, but I have a list.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Well,
yes, Wikipedia. I just found it as well.
Well, I have a Game Fest collection of 14 Forgotten Realms classics. And it includes Pool of Radiance, which that's been remade quite a few times for Neverwinter Nights. I can't get into the older Gold Box games. That's what they used to call these kind of old 386 DOS classics. It has Curse of Azure Bonds and Secret of Silver Blades, Pools of Darkness, which is like add-on. Well, not an add-on, a sequel to Pools of Radiance. And some of these classic Gold Box games, you were able to import your character over into some of the other games. And these games were really, how to describe it?
They were nothing at all like what you see today.
No.
You had to draw your own map.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't a mapping function in some of the earlier ones. I'm trying to think which one finally came out with its own mapping function that I just thought was the most incredible thing I'd ever seen in my entire life. May have been the Men's of Branson one. I'm not sure. But it sure made life a whole lot simpler than when you had to have your little graph paper out beside you and you were trying to, you know, you had to guess at how far you were going down the corridor before it turned right, and then it turned left, and then it did something else.
It did turn a lot of times.
Yeah, I could.
From what I see,
I couldn't get into the classic games like that. I'm not really quite sure why I ended up getting. I got it because it was Forgotten Realms, and I digged BioWare and Black Isles and Interplay and Obsidian did with the setting, probably a little bit more than what some of the books were, but I've read quite a lot of the books too. But another classic, and this has been redone for Neverwinter Nights 1, I haven't seen it done for Neverwinter Nights 2, is Eye of the Beholder. And Eye of the Beholder is probably one of the most multi-ported games for the Dungeons & Dragons Forgotten Realms setting, and most of the game ports don't have like the Forgotten Realms logo included into it. Now, folks, don't feel like we're going to like blow a bunch of Forgotten Realms smoke up your butt. You know, we're still into generic settings or in other settings too. Just that we ended up having quite a few requests for us to talk about Forgotten Realms. We're all three of us here right now. We've been fans of Forgotten Realms. So that's one reason why we're talking so back.
Yeah. I was a fan from 16.
Oh yeah.
What was that last year?
Yeah.
No, it's about 10 years ago. I found the first book that I liked in school library. It was the Tainted Sword or something like that. And actually redid all three. I don't remember exactly what they were about, after that I read a lot of books. But after that I was hooked on Forgotten Realms and was looking around to find everything I could. So I found Baldur's Gate, found Icewind Dale, and Neverwinter Nights followed.
I started DMing in the Forgotten Realms world the year it came out, which was like 86 or 87. And so I have been a diehard Forgotten Realms DM ever since. Part of the reason is because it is such a huge world that you can do anything anywhere. And we see that in Neverwinter Nights 1, where people have they have world, you know, persistent worlds or modules set in any number of locales. So you're not restricted to just one small chewing gum again.
That's Stryker, not me.
I'm not chewing gum.
Parallel, where was I? Yes, there are so many places in the realms that you can set a persistent world or you can set a module. As a matter of fact, I just discovered this as a module that is coming out. It's called the Dimensional Shift, Aberturiel to Earth. And I'll post the links to it. This is in the process of being released. But basically, it's a D20 modern module that starts in Faerun, goes to future Earth, and then ends back up in Faerun. So that just ought to be absolutely, it's either going to be really, really good or really, really bad. But it sounds fun and it's a unique idea.
Oh, a unique idea. Are you sure?
Well, it's not such a unique, but it wasn't done before. So,
really?
With Neverwinter Nights.
Oh, it hasn't been done. Okay.
Not that I remember. Did you?
No, I haven't. That was kind of why it surprised me. Did that.
I didn't get into Forgotten Realms until Baldur's Gate, and that was because I used to land party a lot with folks, and Diablo just didn't cut it. I mean, it was just a mindless point and click, just crap game to me. I thought it just had no challenge.
I replaced six mouses after it. My brother was clicking addicted at the game.
Mm-hmm. But Baldur's Gate had what I wanted in a game, you know, for multiplayer.
Right.
And Diablo just another.
Another RPG.
Yeah.
Diablo is another show.
Yeah, they get Diablo off.
I love Diablo because it's, you know, there are some nights you come home and you just want to kill something.
Not really, and I'm a pretty angry, you know, SOB sometimes, and I don't want to kill things.
Oh man, I just, you know, I would come home and just the way I blew off was just to sit down and click my little heart out playing Diablo.
You know, for a grandmother, you're probably maybe more evil than I am.
Well, of course I am.
Okay.
She's a dragon. What do you want?
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, Eye of the Beholder ended up having ports to, like, I don't have the wiki list. I know some of this by heart. I used to have it for Super Nintendo. And I just couldn't get too far into it. And then there was a Sega CD version, and then there was a couple Japanese ports of it. And I seen on YouTube a video for the Eye of the Beholder Sega CD, which had like voice acting for it, and it was just horrible. And but most games back then did. Probably those.
What did you expect from the 80s or something?
Yeah. Now watch one of those actors come check out some NWN games and say mine sucks. So be it. There was a Game Boy Advance port for it also. And there was a couple more sequels. There was Eye of the Beholder 2 and Eye of the Beholder 3. Another game that came out, what was it called? People end up saying it was the more fitting sequel to Eye of the Beholder, but it was a different setting. Either like Lands of Lore, I wanted to say it was. Have you all ever checked that out? Old game.
I don't remember playing Lands of Lore.
It was quite more of a person kind of game, but kind of like breed of.
It's like Demonstone was.
Demonstone?
Yeah.
No. Demonstone was more of a fighting one. And that was, well, interesting you brought up Demonstone, because most of these games from, were created, these classic games were created by SSI. Is it what they stand for? Strategic?
Yeah, SSI, you know, strategic. I used to love their games. I love strategy games.
Yeah, they had a lot of great classic games a long time ago. But, some of the people, well, that ended up coming much later. Some of the folks from there ended up working on Forgotten Realms fighting game for the PC and PlayStation 2. And
the Dark Alliance one, I think.
Yeah, that was done by Black Isles, although not not some of the same people, I believe, from the Baldur's Gate days. But, so there's Gateway of the Savage Frontier, Treasures of the Savage Frontier. Hillsfar is being redone for Neverwinter Nights 2, and that's interesting to see. There was a port for Nintendo ages ago that kind of sucked. But graphic-wise and gameplay-wise, it's interesting. I'm interested to see what it's going to be done for that. A fella named Rat is developing Hillsfar for Neverwinter Nights 2. And you mentioned Menzo Baron Zan, and then there's Dungeon Hack, which is at the line.
And where is the Curse of the Azure Bounds?
Yep, I already mentioned that one. All right. Okay.
Never finished that book.
Y'all ever heard of Demon Shard, or was it Demon Shard or Dragon Shard?
Yes.
Okay, it's an Eberron setting, and Atari labeled it the first RTS game for the Dungeons & Dragons.
It sucks.
I haven't played it. I did want to play it, but I never could get into Eberron.
I have an original copy. I can send you.
But that, they were wrong. It wasn't the first RTS for Dungeons and Dragons. Actually, there was another one called Castles, which was kind of an RTS that was just like not any setting. It was just a generic setting, and it was called Castles. But the Forgotten Realms setting actually had a first RTS that was more along the lines of like Warcraft, and that was called Blood and Magic.
Yes,
and you end up dinking around with basil golems all the time. Yeah, and then they end up coming out with Alquidam, which is
I found the Blood and Magic.
Alquidam was kind of more like a Legend of Zelda kind of carbon copy, and then let's see, I got here. All right, here's what some people from the Neverwinter Nights community ended up modding with before there was internet. Around 1995, Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition Unlimited Adventures. Now, it doesn't say Forgotten Realms on the cover, but this was one of the first moddable games for Dungeons and Dragons and for computer gaming, and you could make your own adventure modules with this game.
I didn't know that.
And it's based on the Gold Box series of games, like the older classic ones that we mentioned.
Yeah.
You could probably find some video clips on YouTube by looking up Unlimited Adventures. But I know folks like Marcus Wayne Schlegel modded with Unlimited Adventures, and also so did the Night Owl, I believe. No, no. I've got him confused with a different moderator. Webby.
Oh, okay.
Webby used to mod with Unlimited Adventures, and he's a forum moderator somewhere out there. And after that, did you know that Neverwinter Nights by BioWare is not the first Neverwinter Nights game?
That's right. I knew that.
You told me that already.
Oh, yeah. I told you that already?
Yeah.
Well, folks, it used to be a multiplayer game that charged an arm, leg, and a testicle by America Online. And this is like...
Wasn't that the AOL version?
Yeah. AOL. And they had, like, people would pay, like, about, like, $5 an hour to play this game online with other people. Can you just imagine, like, the bills that people would get, you know?
Oh, man. That would just...
Imagine if you took
all
your...
I would rather not think about it. Thank you very much.
All your Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2 gaming, you know, from BioWare and Obsidian and Ossian and, you know, and such. If you took all the hours of gaming and you ended up, you know, kind of putting a price range of $5 an hour to that... You know, that's what they used to deal with, you know, people long ago. But it was one of the, Neverwinter Nights was actually one of the very first MMORPGs. And people used to pay a fortune to play it. Then I believe we ended up getting Icewind Dale and, well, Baldur's Gate and then Icewind Dale and Baldur's Gate 2.
Icewind Dale 2.
Yeah. And Icewind Dale 2 came out around the same time that Neverwinter Nights did. And Neverwinter Nights really stumped Icewind Dale 2.
Yeah, but I still played Icewind Dale. I liked it.
I'm forgetting a game. I knew I was. And it's probably a game that if anybody from Interplay and Obsidian is listening, they were hoping that I wouldn't mention this game. Alright, this game is probably one of the worst games in history. And I'm really sorry, I've yet to try playing through it, but it is buggy as the nine hells. And that is Descent to Undermountain.
Oh.
And it was built using the Descent game engine. And I remember seeing some of the people that developed on this. I read on the internet. They said that this game was the game that was never meant to be. And, yeah.
Sounds like the Temple of Elemental Evil that Troika did that was buggy as all get out.
Yeah, but there is an update now that makes it work better. Actually, for me, it did. I actually could kill a giant.
You know what? Forgetting another game, too. Alright, let me get... Pools of Radiance, Runes of Myth, Draenor.
No, I think we crossed it.
Now, this was a different one. Not the classic gold box one. This one was published by Ubisoft. And was done by SSI also. And this was the... one of the... See, it says on the thing somewhere... It was one of the first games to showcase the 3.5 or 3.0 rules. Yep. Ubisoft must be going through some troubles because their website for this game's down.
Ubisoft may update their games that didn't do so well, they just remove them from our website.
But their MP3 audios for the game that they had are still up there, and I ended up showing CMP that. They could end up using. Alright. Well, they ended up importing Baldur's Gate and Neverwinter Nights to mobile phones. And folks, you'll never be able to get those. Maybe. Someday. Because it was published for Jamdat, and EA Games bought those up. So, but there's probably some better cell phone games out anyways. Nowadays.
Yes.
Well, and that is the history
of the gaming
of Forgotten Realms games.
Yes.
Remember, we didn't mention that Demon Stone was written by R.A. Salvatore.
Amazingly, after having read all of Salvatore, I never read any of the Demon Stone books.
I have not read all the Salvatore books. I end up going to the Candlekeep forums, candlekeep.com, and that there's like tons of people there that are like deep into the Forgotten Realms lore and history, and I get this opinion that a majority of them think games suck for the FR setting, but I love the PC games for FR. Pretty much anything above 1995. But I have a good collection of novels, and I have a feeling so do you two.
I mean,
you know, I used to have a really big selection, and then for some reason I just decided that I would donate them all to the library. Don't ask me why, because it never fails. Now that I'm, you know, I'll go back and I'll, all of a sudden I'll need them for reference, and then I'm looking for them, and then I'm saying, oh, well, it must have been in those 45 books or 75 books, whatever it was I gave away. So then I have to run down to our local used bookstore and try and find it.
Good luck with that.
Well, you know what? You do bring up a good point. You know, Forgotten Realms Dungeon Masters do too much work to learn the setting and to actually game it and try to be on top of the game. Because one of the, that frustrates some players too. And one of the biggest frustrations of the Dungeon Masters with Forgotten Realms is that when players know more than the DM does,
And they don't hesitate to tell you that you're wrong on top of it. You'll get this wonderful little tell. Oh, no, that's not right. So-and-so didn't go to that piece of the territory until 1362.
Who cares?
Yes, exactly. Who cares? Besides which, I'm the DM. This is my game.
Yes.
But there are a lot of them out there like that. That, you know, if you use any of a well-known characters like Elminster or any of the Seven Sisters or any number of people, then they'll tell you that it's impossible for it to be what you've just done.
Yeah.
It's not so impossible. Elminster visited every part of Faerun at any given moment, so it's not possible to know where he was.
Well, and that's a good point.
It's the only point. It's Elminster. He just visited everywhere he wanted to.
Well, that's right. And he certainly, because he certainly can do what he wants to.
Well, not anymore. He's in, supposedly in the latest setting, he's a crazy old coot now.
Well, I will say that 4th edition has its pros and its cons. And I got the 4th edition setting book. Basically, because I just, you know, I wanted to see what they had done to my world.
Oh, yeah.
But I was at Gen Con a couple of years ago before 4.0 came out, and Ed Greenwood was part of the group that from Wizards that was not forecasting, but I guess forecasting what 4th edition was. And Greenwood said, "The Realms has always been a living, breathing world." And that means that people age, people die, things change. And so, whether we like it or not, it's what they've done to it. Now, the only question was, you know, do you dive into it wholeheartedly, or do you say, okay, I'm perfectly happy with the hundreds of dollars I have invested in 3.0 and 3.5 books. Well, oh yes, let's do talk about second edition as well. Mm-hmm. and just keep marching there as opposed to getting involved in fourth edition. There are other people who like it a lot. But that is one of the joys of the realms, at least for me, as a DM, is, you know, there's this...
variety?
There's a variety. There's a plan down. You can follow it or not.
I choose not to. And that's because, you know, myself, you know, I read into a lot of other different settings, and it just doesn't, it just doesn't seem like anything new to me. The story's already been done, I personally feel.
Well, there's probably something to that.
Oh, yeah, there might be something to that.
The last time I checked, Forgotten Realms stopped at 1399.
But the thing about the realms is that it caught the imagination of a large number of people. Not only people at TSR and at Wizards, but also the authors who got involved in it.
Yes. Thanks to them, we have the books which we can read every time.
I mean, when you just sit and look at the sheer numbers of books that have been produced over the years, it's amazing.
The thing that's amazing to me, that there is not a single good movie about it.
Well, there's a good D&D movie about any of them.
There's a couple, I've seen on YouTube a couple attempts at fan films. And actually, there is a Drizzt fan film in production that actually looks like it's going to be pretty decent.
You're kidding me, right?
No, I'm serious. There's a fan film for...
Fan film. Yeah, okay. Drizzt. That I can understand.
And it's got special effects. I mean, decent, you know, special effects. And it's got, you know, it's got a... what's the cat's name? They have a Black Panther there.
Oh, well, oh dear. I got the miniature for Gwendolyn.
Gwendolyn, or...
I think I'm the only person in the Forgotten Realms who didn't read about the Drizzt adventures.
Oh dear. How embarrassing.
Yes.
Well, hey,
I didn't find the book.
Yeah, after we end up finishing the show, we'll remember the cat's name. But honestly, there's so many novels out there. It's just hard to keep up with just only the Drizzt tales, you know. You know, there's the
There are five or something?
Huh?
There are five books or something, no? Or three?
Oh, there's more than five or three Drizzt novels.
Yeah, there's five... It's five sets of three apiece or something of the sort.
And so there's, 15.
Yeah, there's...
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, there are a lot.
Only ones I found were in my library, only two books of Drizzt. And the only books that I have about the Forgotten Realms currently.
That's pretty amazing that you only have Drizzt books. Gwenhvar, Gwenhvar, Gwenhvar's cat's name.
Whoa, that's a name?
Yeah, Gwenhvar, Gwenhvar, Gwenhvar's.
Gwenhvar's, that's the name of the cat?
That's the name of the cat. Yeah. That comes
I have a gamer in my PNP group that uses the miniature for that cat for her druid's pet. You know, I bet probably Neverwinter Nights, I bet Drizzt is probably mentioned mostly in the OOC areas when you enter some persistent game worlds, which tells you that like Drizzt clones will be killed on sight.
Yes.
You know, pretty much, you know.
Yeah, I think in Sojourner's player manual we have, you know, please do not use names like Drizzt.
Make your own. Yeah, one of the biggest things about Neverwinter Nights multiplayer gaming is a lot of people really want you to make your own character. But, you know, why not, you know, but another thing is that, you know, making your own setting, You know, that kind of goes hand in hand. You know, well, why can't I be this? Why can't I do that? You're ruining my fun. I'm here to have fun, but you're taking my fun away. I can't be, you know, Drizzt.
You Drizzt, him Drizzt, then Drizzt, and you have a Drizzt army.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll have a Drizzt army. And we'll have to do an attack of the clones, because everybody's been programmed to be Drizzt.
And they all believe in the... And they all believe in the Force, so it's even odder.
Of the lightsabers?
Yes. Forget Twinkle and Icicle. They're not really, you know, short swords and long swords. They're actually lightsabers. Oh, my heavens, we've just kind of wandered off into, you know, Never Never Land.
No, we still stayed on topic with FR.
Oh, well, that's true. That's true. We did. We did.
You know, there's a game that pretty much pokes fun at the, at least I kind of perceived it as such. And that is the Bard's Tale. You know, how, you ever played that? Not the old classic Bard's Tale, the one where they had the voice actor.
From, yeah, the narrator. I actually loved the small jokes in there, but I didn't love the game itself.
Really? I kind of dig the game. It had, the voice actor from,
yes, I love the voice actor. It's actually, I was laughing all the time. There is a cutscene. I couldn't sit this still.
Oh, yeah.
It was just too hilarious.
Yeah, I like how you keep finding these chosen ones dead here and there.
Yes.
You know, that's another overused one in role-playing games is, you know, chosen ones and, prophecies. And such, you know.
Like I am the chosen one. You cannot stop me. Arrow in the head. But I just couldn't stop laughing from it. I prefer to have a group of adventurers that will go in, not just one person. One person is not a Superman.
Oh, Superman always gets hurt. He died.
Yeah.
Almost
he died
every,
once.
Almost every actor that said that, you know, they were Superman, something bad happens.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. That they obviously didn't have a cleric following them around.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Good point. A good cleric is absolutely necessary to the survival of anybody.
Oh, yeah.
One or two.
Yes, one or two, just in case one of them dies. Speaking as one of the clerics who nearly always dies all the time, it's like I'm just kind of laying there on, and that's usually where Carlo will going, you need to watch your health bar and retreat. I was trying to.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and folks, there's a crazy amount of novels, and some of them are really good, and some of them. I had a girlfriend I gave the, Evermeet book to, and she just couldn't get into it.
Well, the Evermeet book was more a collection of the history. So if you weren't into the elves, it was actually kind of boring.
Yeah.
Now, the Erebus Kale trilogy, it for me, was a great series of books. The Elminster series is fun, right up until Elminster in Hell, and then I kind of wondered what he was drinking at the time. Of course, then there's the Icewind Dale trilogy, which started the whole visit, routine. But great stories if you're looking at advice on how to play a dwarf. They're probably some of the finest dwarf characterizations that I've ever run across.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd agree. The dwarves in that novel are pretty good.
The one probably the priceless there was the druid dwarf that kept calling himself a doodad.
Doodad?
Doodad, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, don't ask me, but, you know, it was kind of a... He was kind of a strange druid. What can I say?
I've only read.
Well, I didn't read that book, so I will try to find it.
Yeah, they're a good starting. So anyway, Skunk, you were telling us that that one of the problems that you have with the books is that when you start reading a trilogy and then you get partway through book two, and then what happens?
I just switch to another novel in the setting, or I end up reading a book on the computer, or I end up going to some other kind of more educational.
When you're a Forgotten Realms DM, though, those are educational novels.
Yes, it is.
Well, that is if you want to be a servant to the Forgotten Realms, but, you know.
Actually, it did help me learn some settings. I don't use Forgotten Realms that much for my games when I used to DM.
That is probably one of the biggest complaints that I've ever heard about the Forgotten Realms setting, is that it's too damn big.
Yes.
That there is so much detail that you can get lost in, the minutia of the, you know, what land that you're in. So you have to kind of, thread your way through some of that and mix and match it and once again, that's where, you know, DM, you're the god, so you can do whatever you want to with it.
You can bring in some gods to help you.
And yes, and there are plenty of Forgotten Realms gods. Except in 4th edition, and a lot of them have been killed off.
By who?
Wizards.
Last time
I remember, Eo said, as long as the god has worshippers, he cannot die.
Well, I agree, and that's what a lot of people have complained about. It's like, you know, how can you make the gods go away? And their theory under 4th edition is that that there are powerful gods and that there are then lesser gods, and a lot of the elven gods and the dwarven gods and everything kind of became, like avatars. Kind of souped up avatars, like they're sub-gods. It was just kind of strange and kind of odd, and seems to me that Sirik winds up killing Mistra, and...
It's not... Sirik didn't kill Mistra. Helm killed Mistra.
Helm killed Mistra, that's right. Well, Thank you for correcting me on that.
Shadowdale, though. The Shadowdale yes. novel. But there's been a couple other Mistras through the timeline, though.
No, there is a mid... after it, it's Midnight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes. Midnight became the most recent Mistra. There were two before her that were...
For Mistra, it was the most stupidest way to die. I just read the book, and I... Why didn't she just go back down the stairs and save the effort for everyone?
But I think that their theory was on that, if I recall correctly, is that Mistra herself spread herself so thinly that she had to surrender, that she basically phased herself out of existence. And that was how the original Mistral, and her name was Mistral at the time, never mind. Edit that out.
Right. No, don't please.
No,
I'm trying to think
what...
when the Netherese guy made himself a god and all the floating cities fell out of the sky and everything, the reason that Toril was not destroyed at the time is because Mistral spread herself out and stopped the death of the world.
Yeah.
And so a new Mistra took over.
From what I understood from the book, Mistra just gave her essence to Midnight. That's why El could not bring her back.
Right, right. There was a lot of convoluted stuff during the time of troubles. But the time of troubles, you know, people complain about the 4th edition, how this was, you know, how the spell plague destroyed the world. Well, the time of troubles was the device by which they moved from second edition to third edition and explained the differences in the way the characters were put together.
Mm.
So that was a whole device there that was done specifically to move from second edition to third edition.
The trouble, the only time where you can die just by walking on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really motivated to check out too much more fourth edition for Forgotten Realms. I don't feel like they killed the setting for me like a lot of other people do. I don't care. You know, there's tons and tons of material now that I could, you know, buy. You know, and until, you know, I like keeping an eye out for other people to make a good setting that I would like to, you know.
Well, that you can take place in. It's like one of the worlds that has always been extremely popular, even though it was never officially supported, was Planescape.
Yeah.
And, there is still a very active community in Planescape that has carried Planescape forward into third edition. So if, you know, things like that, if the people want it, they will figure out a way to make it continue.
You said before, you said, what did they do to my world? Well, you know, if it's really your world, you could do whatever you want with it. You know?
Well, that's right. I don't know that what I said was diametrically opposed, Skunk.
I'm sorry.
but you have a valid point there. There are extremely faithful DMs to the Forgotten Realms, and that they did feel that it was, you know, their world, their property, and it's taken them a while to go, oh well, okay, I guess I don't have to go to fourth edition. There are plenty of books and splat books and documentation that we can play in second edition or in third edition Forgotten Realms forever and still barely scratch the surface of it.
Good point. I just seen the fourth edition books in our bookstores, and I looked at it and I read a bit of it and I just put it back in there.
Well, for example, my PNP group said, we looked at it. We've been gaming in the realms now for, like I said, for 20 some odd years. Yes. We just looked at our bookshelves full of books and went, I don't think we want to buy any more books.
Until, at least not that bad. I don't know. I just didn't see something editing to it except for power gaming and some races.
Yeah, there is there's a whole philosophy about, you know, about fourth edition and who they built it for and what kind of audience they built it for.
The problem is forgetting that the audience, younger audience will only come in with the older one. So good luck with that.
Yeah.
I would dig. Well, if I was to, since Forgotten Realms is a fourth edition, is kind of like restarting over again. I mean, it is interesting with the thought that, you know, being a dungeon master, that you could contribute to that since it's, you know, still in its, you know, infant age, where you could add on to it and, you know, maybe get some of your adventures known out in the communities for gaming. But also, you know, there's also the possibility of, making your own
settings. Yeah. And,
yeah. I mean, everybody, you know, loves, you know, boasting about coming up with their new own IP and all that lately.
It is difficult to create and populate a new setting. And so
I know.
I have infinite respect for someone who is willing to go to that kind of effort
Well, I'm somebody who tries to do such things. I build settings and try them out.
Oh, yeah?
I showed you some, no?
Yes, you did.
The hard part is to build a guard for that settings. The rest is, well, you build heroes out of with patron the god, so you have the reason to build a hero.
Yeah.
And the hardest part is to write the story itself.
But your dog agrees too.
Yes, I hear him. I think it's the second one. Okay, I have two dogs, one cat, and we're all living together. How's that?
That sounds like harmony.
I have three dogs, a husband and a brother, and none of us live in harmony.
Yeah. Now, so where did we stop? Somebody who creates their own world?
Yeah, now we're touching storytelling.
I think a lot of things boil down to simple storytelling.
Regardless, yes,
of, regardless of what world you're using, whether it's the Forgotten Realms or D20 Modern or regular D&D or Planescape or Spelljammer or Tecamel or any number of worlds.
Yeah, or
if
what
you can't tell a story, then it's not going to be any fun.
Or what worlds you rip off, too.
Yeah.
Or what other stories you rip off, too.
As long as you can say the story, you have no audience to listen.
Yeah, good point. You gotta have an audience, otherwise it doesn't matter how good you are.
Yes.
Have we about covered the Forgotten Realms enough to bore everybody? Should we, throw some news in, or did you have anything else on your list for the realms, Skunk?
None.
Skunk?
Hello. Did Skunk just get flushed down the toilet?
I don't know what that was. I don't think that came from me. I didn't do anything.
Okay.
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 I mean,
we have gremlins here in our microphones tonight, I think.
Yes, I agree.
It was Mistra trying to say hello.
Poor Mistra. So the place of the god of magic was replaced three times?
Yep. It just goes to prove that there is no job security in being the god of magic.
Good point.
Hello, yes, I'm sorry, I just wandered off mentally somewhere far, far away. edit that out.
It was an awesome point. It was a great point.
Yeah, it's a great point. There is no good job as a god of magic. You simply get killed too many times.
You're sucked dry by wizards who are power hungry. If Mister would stop giving up bits and pieces of herself to the Chosen, she probably wouldn't die so often. What do you think?
I don't think. I think she would die eventually. She just wanted to get up the stairs too much.
She never
despite the fact that Helm told her, no, you can. I will get up!
She never gave any of my characters a piece.
There were, on the vault some time ago, there were NPCs created of the various gods. Did you all see those? Mm-hmm. Probably been several years now.
Yes.
Individual character builds for the various gods.
I think it's a bit hard.
I was always hoping for a CCP group to really take off and actually put more of the variety of deities into there. I mean, because Barry recently showed me Orcus, being redone. And, there's still a ton more. Now my dog's attacking me. Yes, who's a dumb dog? Yeah,
Mine's attacking me for the last 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. My dog's a
huge... Go away.
Okay. Sounds like his dog grabbed his microphone and ran with it.
I can see it.
So, anyway. So if you didn't have the Forgotten Realms to game in, or to DM in, where would you game?
Over Neverwinter Nights, or just in general?
Just in general.
Well, I don't think something like that would exist.
I would probably, you'd probably make up your own. I mean, if you're really a good dungeon master, you would make up your own.
Well, there's something probably to that. Mm-hmm. I just don't have time.
You do not need time. You need to be ready to write something.
Yeah, you need to write.
You simply start writing, and slowly by slowly, you end up with 500 pages of something.
Even though I've been mentioning, make your own original story setting, I bet if I did write one, everybody would be looking to see, oh, what did he rip off?
It's hard to write these days something new. It's simply too hard to do it. There are a lot of things which already were written, done, and it's just too hard to do it.
Well, it's kind of like when I'm reading books, and I think, this is pretty much the same general idea, but the twist on it is just enough that makes it fascinating. And I suspect with the game world that it's pretty much the same way. But then again, if I were writing a game world, I probably would, I would be up there instead of Ed Greenwood. So when are you going to get Ed Greenwood on, Skunk?
Yeah, that would be great. I'd love to chat with him. He visits the Candlekeep Forum every so often.
Yes, he does.
I would need to get the Candlekeep Forum moderators on here too someday.
I agree. Because, quite frankly, it is hard to find a good, solid place that has a lot of expertise and a lot of knowledge on everything that is involved in the realms. And Candlekeep.com is one of them.
Yeah.
And there's just, a ton of information where you can go and ask, and somebody's got the answer. Yeah. And then they've also got all the forums with all the authors. And you talk about that. So there's just, it's just a wonderful place to go spend some time browsing if you don't have anything else to do in your life.
Well, we still have, even though we didn't have an interview today, folks, for you, we do have tons of interviews in the pipeline that we have folks that agreed to. Now, I'm taking a look at our interview archive that we got in plans. Yeah. In the future, hopefully, we'll end up getting folks from NWN Lexicon to pay us a visit. Some round table of builders from Neverwinter Nights 2 to talk about Storm Is a Here's benefits. And we could probably end up asking about some updates on the latest patch for Neverwinter Nights 2 that just came out, which... Kind of really glad that I don't have to keep my CD in my CD drive anymore.
Oh, isn't that a wonderful, about time that got taken out there.
I just hope they continue to do more patches. Sometimes a lot of people are wondering, is that a good sign or a bad sign? What the hell? And then Unapproachable East Thiesk, NWN2PW, and Alpha, A Land Far Away, agreed to... An interview. I'm really I took too long on that one, and I regret that one. I always wanted to see the Neverwinter Nights 1 servers for Alpha, and I believe they moved on to focusing with Neverwinter Nights 2. And
you can ask them.
Yeah. And Candlekeep. I think I emailed them. I emailed one of the head admins there. And he told me that the team agreed to it and didn't get back to me. But since we talked a lot about Forgotten Realms, I'll point this episode to them. And hopefully we could get some of the Candlekeep community on the show.
That sounds like great. Mm-hmm. Great plan.
Chemo, he's a cool fella in the community. He's done quite a bit of animations and such, and he's got a, or she, I'm not sure on the gender. Could be both, that'd be cool. WN Haven, and then what else do we have?
Project Q?
Yeah, Taibei is hopefully going to be hooking us up with a Project Q interview. And hopefully I can get Chris Priestley of BioWare onto the show. He's agreed. He's really busy right now. All of BioWare is, and that's understandable.
With Dragon Age, yes.
Yeah, with Dragon Age. You know, a lot of the NWN community members that are planning on moving on to Dragon Age have come over to our NWN P forums and like to end up giving us news. And, you know, I've been kind of a little confused, like, you know, why DA on NWN P, you know?
Why not? It's a modding world.
Yeah.
We did miss the news from the start.
Well, that's because we're doing things a little differently. We're making people wait for the news. You see.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
It may make a whole new methodology for us here. You know, like we'll do the interview first, and because. You know, people, you know, fast forward through the news. Well, now we're going to make them, actually, we're going to divide the interview in two. And so we'll do part of it to begin with, and then we'll do the news, and then we'll do the second part of the interview.
Wow. That's an awesome idea.
Well, as Skunk mentioned earlier, that there is a cold fix out, 1.2.3, that lets you no longer need the disk and the drive to enjoy Neverwinter Nights 2.
Yes.
I had a problem installing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so bye-bye secure ROM.
What happened?
Well, I would say bye-bye to secure ROM after I have the time to reinstall all the expansion of Neverwinter Nights 2.
Oh, yeah. What happened? What problem did you have?
It told me I don't have a file in my... animation DLL something.
So if anybody knows how to fix that, please email StrikerB at...
Just message on the board.
Ah, clever idea.
Well, he said he's just going to reinstall, so that would work.
When I going to reinstall is a good question as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, honestly, I think the reason why we didn't end up collecting much news is we've been all busy with our own things lately. If you're an avid listener of the show, you notice how we've been bi-weekly, and I believe that's going to end up changing here soon. We'll end up probably getting the weekly again here soon.
Yeah, so it'll be a nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you all don't miss us.
So I miss you folks.
You miss, everybody miss Skunk.
Well, miss that's me. True. Why I was driving down the street the other day and there was a big billboard that said, "We miss Skunk." Yeah. And I said, "Wow, would you just look at that?"
Yeah, George Clinton is singing about me too. We want the skunk. Gotta have that skunk, yeah. Why are you trying to feed into my ego? I need an inflated one.
Your ego needs the food. Why?
My ego needs to do what?
It needs more food.
It needs more food.
Yes.
I've been losing weight here.
We're a lean, mean fighting machine, are we now?
Not fighting. Love one.
Or
love.
Yeah.
Was the picture that you posted on the forums in my birthday wishes the true image of you?
Yeah, naked and shaved.
Naked and shaved, yeah. That's pretty much what I thought.
You like that?
I love the naked skunk.
I was trying to restrain myself from loving the Naked Skunk.
Yeah.
That's right. We'll post it on the front page.
Erotically posed inside of a cage.
You know, we'd probably garner a whole lot more listeners if we did that. Just had this teaser on the front. A naked skunk erotically posed inside of a cage. For more details, listen to the next episode. I think we're making Stryker cry.
Yes.
Let me hit a tanning booth first. Get some new pictures.
Yes, we are. He's going to have a stroke in Israel. There's no doubt
about it. No, not stroke.
Are you stroking it? All right, we need to change the subject now.
Okay, so where did we stop in the Forgotten Realms?
So, oh yes.
Beside the Naked Skunk and where?
That's right. Somehow did we get from Forgotten Realms to a Naked Skunk?
Y'all are still dwelling on it.
I know. Well, we're just not highly trained professionals like you are. Well, I also saw that our beloved cockroach has posted a delightful video up that's called "Someone's Building with NWN2."
Yes, I seen it as well several weeks ago.
Pretty funny, but I think only someone who's been trying to build with Neverwhere Nice 2 probably will laugh quite as hard at it as. Somebody has no clue what they're talking about. But he does. Cockroach puts some great stuff out.
I haven't seen his latest video. Is it a video?
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's with the guy that breaks the keyboard.
Is it the old one? Where it is like a German kid and he's...
Yes, yes.
Oh, he's had it on YouTube for a long time.
Yeah. It's actually fun. It reminds me the first time I turned on the Neverwinter toolset, Neverwinter Nights toolset, the two toolset, and I like start working and it's autosave, and I like, I just work for 10 minutes and it's autosaving.
Hey, you gotta disable that autosave.
Yes, I disabled it, and then it start crashing, and I said, okay, forget it. I turned it off, turned on the Neverwinter 1 toolset, and continued working there.
Well, I know for a fact that a sequel to A Hunt Through the Dark for Neverwinter Nights 2 is going to be out of beta soon, hereafter I organize, add in my voice lines into it.
Oh, cool. And you will, of course, post the link to that when that's up, right?
Yeah. Yep.
It has no other choice. We need the skunk. The skunk's voice.
Or if I started chatting more, gnome-like.
Yeah?
I'd have to hear it before I could make a judgment call on that.
Yeah, so do I. But I think it will be interesting to hear you.
Or how about more like a sociopath?
Okay, that would be different. How?
You think I already sound like that? Kind of a madman? No.
No, you sound like an evil genius.
Really?
An evil genius? Well, of course.
Indeed.
Oh, gee,
You just need to edit the laughter.
Oh man, I'm just soaking up all this attention. This is good. Yeah. Jeez, you really think this is what I need?
Well, we aim to please, and
thank you.
I'm sure there will be millions of listeners who write in and say and agree with us completely and totally.
And if I think too.
And if they don't, well, we'll just have Elminster, you know, teleport them to, or do a plane shift on them to the
send them to
nine
the
abysses
age.
Of hell.
Just thought to the elemental. Plane of fire, but okay.
Well, that kind of work. Yeah, that works too. That works too. And then he could dim-dorm into the elemental plain of water, and that would put the flame out, you see.
But there is no oxygen.
Well, picky, 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 picky.
Good point.
Like, are we dealing in reality here? Isn't that the isn't that the greatest line that you ever hear anywhere? It's like, okay, that fireball doesn't work because it, you know, it's not real. Like, hello, you're playing fantasy.
The most biggest problem with me was playing games with say this is like a real world. Like, I'm sorry, this is a fantasy game.
That's
so
right. Well, it's kind of like those worlds that make you go out and, you know, and gather wheat and fruit and stuff and to make pies to sell in the marketplace.
Or eat them.
I bet they have someday. I bet you McDonald's makes an MMO someday. All you do is you flip burgers.
Don't give them ideas.
You know, maybe you gotta go, okay, yeah, I'll here's a game, McDonald's, and you just hook me up with $1 million. I'll oversee it gets done right. Down to where you slaughter the cow, and then you cut off its fat and you disguise it as meat, right?
Good point.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend any Hindus out there, but. But, you know.
Nice disclaimer there.
Yeah, it's just a game. No cows would really be hurt. You know.
Except the ones on the McDonald's farm.
Yeah. And then with the chickens, we'll.
And now, stomp with the chickens, please.
Yeah, we could do stuff with the chickens. Oh yes, we could do stuff with the chickens. And, you know,
the difference is enough, I think.
I think PETA might actually endorse a McDonald's MMO.
Ooh, good point.
Yeah, they might endorse it. it might bring.
I can see the subtitles on the box now. This game endorsed by PETA.
You think I'm going to get in trouble for saying this kind of stuff someday?
What? You're giving them ideas on how could to make more money? No, I don't think so.
They already know. They already know, man.
They probably already have it planned.
They already know.
They'll probably be, you know, strip searching their employees to find out who gave away their secret.
What secret?
That they're planning a MMO.
That's a secret.
Well, not anymore now that Skunk's giving it out.
Yeah, well, I'll have to edit it out, you know, and then pitch it too.
Our Skunk is not just an evil genius, it's a master spy.
Well, see, it'd work out great because, you know, they could give away the CDs with every Happy Meal.
Oh!
And then kids could go onto their computer and they could genetically alter chickens. You know.
Okay, Skank. Let's stay with Never Winter Nights and leave
McDonald's. Maybe we could do this with Never Winter Nights, you know. And, you know, you could have a pet deformed chicken. That wobbles.
Well, maybe we should talk to Dave about putting together a mod for McDonald's.
You think he will agree before he shoots the computer or after?
We could just keep it Never Winter Nights going forever and ever and ever. So anyway, I think that's all the news that we have. It's not very much, but it's been sprinkled throughout this entire show. So whoever can figure out what the news was and post it wins.
Wins what?
A
picture of Naked Skunk exclusive?
Yes. Yes, yes, a picture of a naked skunk exclusive. Yes.
Great.
Somehow yeah. I'm not getting a rousing round of agreement from Skunk there.
It was meant to be private for the team.
Oh, darn. Well, then everybody erase from your mind everything that we've said about a naked skunk this entire session.
I think we erased it the moment we heard it, but all right.
Let's erase this memory from your mind. And don't pay attention to the pink elephant in the room.
I thought it was purple.
Oh, you got the purple one? Okay, well now I know where my purple elephant went.
Wait, where is the purple dragon?
The purple dragon is in Cormyr, dragging our topic back to the Forgotten Realms.
Yeah, wow. When we were about to say goodbye to people.
What?
We were about to say goodbye to people.
Oh.
Is it time for us to say goodbye? Wait a minute, isn't there a Roy Rogers song or something that we could play here? At any rate, I think we're through for the evening, and some people would say we were through a whole lot earlier. So this is Cat Dragon saying good night and get in game and level up.
Okay, I agree with that.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2009.